Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Wait, you're listening.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
You're listening to Radiolab.
Radiolab.
From
WNYC.
See?
Yeah.
Hey, man, how are you?
Doing very well. Yourself?
Good. So Aaron, set this up. Who are we about to meet?
So this is Skip Sherry. He lives in Brooklyn.
And that is, we should say, Aaron Scott. He's a reporter who turned us on to Skip. And Aaron met up with Skip because he had this experience.
That's common to a lot of people who moved to New York City.
Just tell us where you grew up.
I grew up in the country outside of Athens, Ohio, on 54 acres of wooded land. And I would work all day as a kid in the heat.
Hoeing and picking strawberries.
Hauling water.
Planting trees. He'd play in the woods.
I loved the woods.
But as he got older, he knew he couldn't stay in Athens.
Why not?
Well, he's a musician. He wanted to make a living at it. So he bounced around for a bit.
So I finally...
And then finally at age 30...
There was no place to go except for New York.
So it wasn't a matter that you wanted to live in New York?
No, I didn't want
to live
in New
York. Was your last option?
It was my last option.
And he hated it.
Because it was ugly to me. You know, like which, too many humans, too much concrete.
Yeah.
You know, one theory about autism is that the things that come into an autistic kid's brain all have equal value. They don't know how to sort through it. And when I first came to New York, it was really... It was pretty overwhelming. I had decided to leave, for sure.
But then, take us to the roof.
I was lucky when I first moved here.
So he's staying with a friend who lives in this big building in Brooklyn Heights.
Right across from the Twin Towers. And it's 36 stories high.
And he decides one lonely night to go up onto the roof.
And there's this intense fog. And the Twin Towers, the bottom of them was covered in the fog, but not the top. So it was like they were floating. And there's a little like a cuticle sliver of moon in the sky. And the fog horns are going and the boats are slowly moving. And there's this breeze. And I had this brass penny whistle that my father had given me. And I was standing there, I was playing it. And I was really, suddenly something clicked. I was like, oh, those are all the bridges. That's Williamsburg Bridge, that's the Manhattan Bridge. There's the Brooklyn Bridge. That's New York. It's small now. And I'm looking at the Statue of Liberty, and my grandmother, Anastasia Pani, came from Albania. And they went to Ellis Island. I could see my history there, too. And suddenly it hit me. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is like a coral reef. You can't see the people, but look at this beautiful structure they have created. And that fog and that air, it was just, the whole city was breathing. The nature was breathing. Everything was breathing. Connected on a spiritual level to the city for the first time.
And so, Skip decided to stay.
For a while.
For a while.
All over the world, people are now moving. Of course, we know this, from the country to the city. At this point...
The world, 2 years ago, crossed this extraordinary benchmark.
That's physicist Jeff West.
Where more than half of the planet is now urbanized.
51%.
Yeah, and that made us wonder. Like, how do cities work?
Is there some deep organic logic that holds all these people together?
Or, as writer Joan Alera puts it,
are cities just
these tumors of people on the landscape?
I'm Jad Abumrad.
I'm Robert Krulwich.
This is Radiolab, and our topic today?
Cities.
Cities.
I love them, but I don't know why.
All right, so in talking about cities, it was kind of hard to know where to start because every city has its own...
DNA, kind of.
Yeah, its own unique feel.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, let me just give you my own stupid example here. So every time I go to St. Louis to visit my mom,
yeah.
I'm on the plane, I'm in my own kind of groove, and I step off the plane into the airport, and it's just like, with the first step, you just hit this wall of something is different. Like you feel the difference in your bones.
Because?
Well, that's the question. So is he there?
I'm here.
What gives the city its feel? Oh, is this Mr. Bob Levine?
This is Mr. Bob Levine.
Mr. Bob Levine is a professor of psychology.
California State University.
And he thinks the answer to that question is time.
Time.
That each city warps time in its own unique way.
My cities are my subjects.
Now, he's studied this idea for the past 30 years in all kinds of different ways.
We looked at things like percentage of people wearing watches.
How long does it take bank tellers in each city to change a $20 bill?
Really?
Yeah. And then we looked at talking speed.
Really?
Talking speed.
Yeah, we'd get on the phone and call post offices, since that seemed like something that would be available every place, and make a standard request.
Would you tell me the difference between regular mail, certified mail, and insured mail?
Okay, certified is when you just need someone to sign for it.
Then he says they'd calculate
the number of syllables per second.
Regular mail just goes airmail, you know, if it's out of Utah.
Salt Lake City, Utah?
2.73 syllables per second.
Then if you want the return receipt card to come back to your house.
Springfield, Mass?
Pay an extra 70 cents, you understand?
3.45 syllables per second.
And this one?
Certified is when you want...
Not really sure where it's from because the tape lost the ID, but it could be Nashville.
Proof of mailing, and then you want to know who, if you want a return receipt.
And if it is Nashville?
2.65 syllables per second.
Slow.
Well, Springfield is like, phew! But the whole talking thing was just really a prelude for Bob. It got him into what I think he's most known for.
And what we find most fascinating.
We actually looked at walking speed.
Walking!
Yeah.
Well, what I would do is I would get into a new city.
And I am in Mumbai, India.
Jerusalem.
Buenos Aires City. Chiang Mai, Thailand.
We actually put out a call to Radiolab listeners everywhere.
We're in Buchanan, in Liberia.
To help us repeat the study.
Okay, good morning, Radiolab. I'm recording from Dublin in Ireland.
Downtown Oslo.
Copenhagen.
I would get into a new city and...
Step one.
I would scope out main business and shopping area.
I'm in the Buchstabayan.
The Midrahov.
Tubman Street.
Step two. Get out some string.
A roll of string.
My red string.
60 feet long.
20 meters we use over here. We wouldn't say feet, really.
Step three, use that string to measure out the distance.
Now I just have to roll out the string.
Now, do you tape the one end to the sidewalk?
Yeah, and I would just make a mark.
Step four, go undercover.
Get in a corridor and, you know.
Be cool. You know, act like you're reading a paper.
Or waiting for somebody.
All right, found myself a discreet place.
I found a pretty nice spot here.
Do you use a stopwatch?
I would use a stopwatch.
A stopwatch. Trusty beep.
Watch is working.
Ready?
Are you ready, Boo?
Okay, I'm ready now.
And go.
Start walking.
And it all goes quiet the minute I want to start. Brilliant. Thanks, Dublin.
This experiment was actually harder than you would think.
Much harder.
Radio Lab people, this is not very easy to do.
Timing was an issue. People trying to sell you stuff.
No. I don't need a shoe shine.
Very good shine. Look at my color.
Pigeons don't count. No, pigeons don't count.
Okay.
Are you ready, Boo?
All together now.
Start walking.
Go.
Step.
Actually, it didn't sound like that at all. They weren't in sync, as you can imagine. Every city had its own beat.
Start.
Step.
Which on some level we knew. But still, the range. It was pretty amazing.
Stop. 12.2.
Oslo.
14.4 seconds.
Mumbai.
27 seconds.
Buchanan. Liberia.
Wow.
13.8.
Buenos Aires.
12.13.
Mexico City.
10.1 seconds.
Copenhagen.
21.5 seconds.
Chiang Mai.
11.57.
Portland.
15.5 seconds.
Jerusalem.
Just to break it down, on the high end, you've got...
Steps. You're on it. Steps.
The Dubliners.
Okay, she was 9.5, and that's 10.4.
Who take, on average, 10.76 seconds to cover 60 feet.
Compare that to Buchanan, Liberia.
Step. Looking step, around, step, something step, actually step, on the head. Step, she got a teen pink step, blouse.
Whose walkers covered the same distance in about...
21 seconds.
21 seconds. So if you want to think about it in football terms, by the time the Dubliner has scored a touchdown...
Guy from Buchanan, Liberia, is somewhere, I guess, around midfield, something like that.
And the spooky thing, according to Bob Levine, is if you do these under the same conditions, same place, you will get the same time. These times don't change. Dublin is always step, about
step,
this.
Steps, you're on it. Step, step, step.
And
step,
Buchanan, step, Liberia step, is step, always around this.
Step, step, step.
Manhattan, as we found, is right about here, usually.
Step, step, with thunder, step, step, step in pink.
No Dublin, but not bad.
But why the consistency?
What is it that makes that walking speed?
Yeah.
Where does it come from?
You know, I mean, is anybody beating the drum? How well can you change the walking speed? Say a bunch of us got together and decided that we were just going to up it by 5% on a given day. Will we get everybody to do it? And will they even notice the difference?
Do we make the city? Or does the city make us?
Thank you to our walkers.
Milena.
Monster.
Buenos Aires.
Mustafa Kumer. Liberia.
Jonathan.
Jerusalem.
Eric Killerman in Copenhagen.
Mutta, Oslo.
Aaron Scott, Portland, Oregon.
Harry Santinacho, Thailand.
Grant Fuller.
Ade Moralizia.
Mexico City.
Itadi, and I'm in Mumbai.
Markham Nolan of Dublin in Ireland.
Props also to Daniel Estring and Anna Sussman.
Why?
I don't know, because they didn't say their name, so we couldn't put them in there. Okay, so getting back to that question I asked a second ago.
Why is it that cities develop particular beats?
Yeah.
I mean, is it because the city does it to the people?
Or the people do it to the city.
Yeah. And we ran into a couple of guys who may at least have the start of an answer.
Yes.
A couple of physicists, oddly enough,
Hi,
named Jeffrey West and Luis Betancourt.
This is Jeffrey, and there's Luis on the other side of the
I'm
table.
Here as well.
Cool.
They're at the Santa Fe Institute in New Mexico.
And lots of mesas and so on.
Nothing like the cities we just visited.
It's almost biblical in its expanse.
Yeah, the blue skies just sort of make you brave and contemplative and all those good things.
Brave enough, in fact, to claim from their high desert perch.
Mm-hmm.
That these beats, the meter of every city that we've just been to, actually has underneath it a kind of logic.
If you tell me the average speed of walking in some city X.
Take Rochester, New York, where people walk at about this speed.
60 feet in 12.67 seconds.
If you don't tell him Rochester, you just tell him the number of beats, he will tell you.
The population is maybe 1.25 million people.
Actual population, 1.03 million people.
And the average wage, about $16,000 a year.
Actual average wage,
$15,588. Wow. But
let me ask you a precise question. Are you 100% correct? Are you 80%
no,
correct?
No, of course. Some things you will score close to 100%, mm-hmm. Other things 80%.
But if you start with just the number of footfalls per unit of time, they can tell you all kinds of other things about the same place.
I can tell you how much crime there is in the city.
Income, wages, GDP.
Number of colleges.
Restaurants.
Fancy restaurants.
Number of theaters, police. The number of patents that are being produced here. Cultural events per capita, number of theaters.
Libraries.
The number of AIDS cases it's going to have this year.
Really?
Really.
All of these things are correlated in a quantitative, and I use the word, predictive fashion.
Wait, are you saying that just from the number of footsteps per given time that you can tell, like, can you tell me how many libraries there are?
Yeah.
Yes.
We could tell you how many you should expect.
Wow.
How many things can you count when you're...
Oh, presumably, you know, an infinite number.
Yeah.
But it's limited by the things for which there are data.
They've got data from the U.S. Census.
That's Jonah Lehrer. He's written about Luis and Jeff, and he's the one who kind of got us thinking about all this.
Japan.
Data from Japan.
In China.
Data from...
sociological surveys. Some data on cell phones.
And when they put all these numbers together, they discovered a deep pattern.
The call comes from the footsteps.
No, not the footsteps.
What do you mean?
Even the footsteps are a reflection of this deep and fundamental pattern that governs everything. Just one fact.
What is it?
You really want to know?
Yeah, what is it?
Size.
The size.
How many people live there?
Size matters. Size is the largest determinant of all characteristics of a city.
Right.
They would say, tell me the size of the city, and I can explain the vast majority of all these different variables that we can measure.
Right.
As a city scales up, they say.
From 100,000 to 200,000, from 1 million to 2 million, from 5 million to 10 million.
Everything about it, all those things that they've been measuring, they scale up too. But they scale up
according to a very simple mathematical formula. It does not matter that New York has big skyscrapers and is on the ocean, and that Boise is in the Rocky Mountains. that San Francisco is on San Francisco Bay.
Wait a second. Wait. That can't be. That can't be. No, I was with you right up until that last point. I mean, you go to the Midwest, and it's landlocked, and then you go to port city, and it's on a port. I mean, that's got to matter.
It matters, but these actually are superficial effects and account for only 10-20% of their variation.
What they're saying is that those specificities, the local history, is in large part insignificant.
What?
But it is completely overwhelmed by these generic laws of urban scaling. That, to me, is a very interesting and surprising idea, simply because we don't think of cities like that at all.
No, we certainly do not.
That's because you're not a physicist, so you don't think, you know, abstractly in that regard.
Well, why should I?
Because sometimes it can be very useful. Remember, what these guys have done is they've just created an average profile for every size city. So if you're a 1 million or 7 million or 12 million, here's how many things you should have.
Now you can ask, okay, let's look specifically at that city and ask, is it overperforming or underperforming?
Right.
So what are some cities that are overperforming for their size?
Of the large cities, San Francisco is quite an innovative city. New York's about average.
In terms of patents,
New York's below average.
New York produces, roughly speaking, the number of patents it should for a size.
You produce, for example, about twice as many patents as Boston.
We do.
That's something. Okay. That's something.
But you should have produced many more, given the size difference between about.
Average because they're counting patents. I mean, who? We don't have engineers.
This is one of the problems with their larger theory, which is that,
pay no attention to that.
They're relying on data that the U.S. Census collected. So that's a real blind spot.
If you're counting fabulous, if we ever can figure out a way to count fabulous.
Yeah, because he has a point. You're not taking into account what it actually, the experience of living in a place.
Mm-hmm. Well, what a theory cannot do is tell you about the essence of New York, the New Yorkness of New York. So to speak, the soul of the city.
And where does that come from?
Who knows? I mean, I think that's such a broad question.
It has something to do with lots of people being jammed into a tight space,
environment,
bumping into each other.
The kind of people who move there.
What the physicists would call human friction. And that's a story you can't really tell in math, but you can hear it. Take Skip. He gave producer Aaron Scott a tour of his block in Brooklyn. Listen to who he bumps into every day.
So he took us on this tour. Okay. First place we went was this Jamaican body shop.
Body shop is in cars?
Yeah.
Collision specialist.
I mean, it's basically these, you know, West Indies Jamaican guys listening to reggaeton and hip hop. Reggae.
No, well, I like all kind of music. It's like
rock. All right, it's one place.
And across the street from this is Kinderspiel, a hidden Orthodox Jewish cookie bakery. Around the corner from that,
it's a butcher that sells live goats and chickens.
And here are the goats.
And on the corner, it's a Hispanic Pentecostal church.
And every Sunday, they give it up to God with this exceedingly enthusiastic band. And I huddle at the window, and I think this is the best music in the world. I feel that deeply.
And then across the street from that one is a mosque.
And it's beautiful on the inside.
Wow.
Across the street,
there's this big building.
And the proprietor of this space is a gay foot fetish film producer.
Show me your feet! Show me your feet!
So wait a second, you've got Jamaicans, Orthodox Jews with the cookies, Hispanics, Jesus, Allah, goats, and gay porn?
Show me your feet!
All on the same block?
Absolutely.
For me, that's the hammer and the nails. That's the raw ingredients. Now I'm going to take that home and I'm going to assemble it into a song.
And when you heard his music, mm-hmm. could you hear all that stuff?
Some of it is clearer than others. the sounds of the neighborhood, like the reggaeton music of the West Indies auto body shops. He kind of takes them and then filters it through some device that makes it sound like bells.
Oddly enough, the day that Aaron spoke with Skip was the day Skip decided
he's leaving New York City, and he put in his notice.
Which I guess makes his latest album, Sonic New York, kind of a Dear John letter to the city. You can hear it on our website, radiolab.org.
And Robert Levine's book, the one about walking and time and stuff,
yep,
is called A Geography of Time.
More information about that, too, on our website, radiolab.org. Also, you can subscribe to our podcast there.
This is Robert Levine. I've been told that
Radiolab is funded in part by the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation
and
produced by WNYC and distributed by NPR.